Claudia Jordan, welcome to TGIF. We are back with a brand new episode of your favorite show. Now we're here to spill the tea and break down the biggest headlines in the news and on social media. So sit back, relax, get you a little something to sip on, and we're going to get into this hot tea. We got a great show for you tonight. Please welcome the calls. Please welcome who is now recovering, I believe, Al Reynolds. What's up, Al?
Hey, what's going on, Claudia? Welcome to D.C.
I'm out here in your city. Yo, drink some Pedialyte and come get me. Let's go to the casino. Let's go.
I know, right? Can you walk?
I can walk very slowly.
Around the casino? You want to walk around? Oh, no, you'll probably just sit at a table.
And play, I just right? go to the craps table and I just stand there until they take all of my money.
I have been gambling with you, woman. Oh, yeah. I can't afford to go gambling with Claudia Jordan, yeah. I'm going to tell you.
Not many people can. Also, please welcome Funky Dineva. What's up, Q?
What's going on, Al? Don't you be no damn fool to go to that casino with Claudia. You see how she get on here. Remember when we first started, I'm down 5,000.
I know, right?
I lost 7,000 last night. No, ma'am. Claudia's a pro.
What's the most y'all ever lost gambling or won?
You know what? So for me, the most I've ever won is like $35. I spent all my money at the bar. So I've spent like $500 at the bar. But when I was broke, I would only take out $40. And then when I got two nickels to rub together, I take out 100. But that's the most I'll ever spend gambling. It's not my thing.
I think the most I've ever won was like $2,500. Now, I probably have lost as much as I've won, but I'm like Q. I'm not a big gambler. And once I start losing what I won, it's time for me to go.
Oh, that's so cute. That's cute amounts.
That's baby amounts. Oh, Claudia, I do want to give a shout out, and you know this because you're a political lady, to my fraternity brother, Rep. Hakeem Jefferson. He just became the first Black person to ever lead a party in Congress. He would be taking Nancy Pelosi's place. Shout out to my frat brother, Kappa Alpha Psi Fraternity Incorporated, Rep. Hakeem Jeffries.
That is huge.
And he represents Brooklyn. And I saw some people in the comments. Of course, there's always ignorant people who don't do their research that want to automatically assume, is he going to do stuff for us? Is he going to give us reparations? First of all, you're the he's the leader of the House, the Democrat, Democratic Party. Follow his career a little bit before y'all come for him. Like people saying, oh, is he like a Clarence Thomas type of Black or not? This is a man that does not play any games. If you've ever watched him in any of the hearings, the congressional hearings, he holds these people accountable. He will not bend a knee to any of them. And he Black for real, y'all. Like he's,
good. And did I mention he was a brother of Kappa Alpha Psi?
Oh, child, you incorporated. Said that 7 times already, girl. Claudia, go to the next thing.
Well, speaking of Black excellence, Tammy Mack, our very own Tammy Mack of Fox Soul, who has been with Fox Soul since day one, building up this network, was voted best radio personality by the LA Times. So we want to support and congratulate our girl, Tammy Mack. She's been doing her thing in these LA streets for a very long time.
Work it out, Tammy Mack. We see you. And
congratulations, colleague.
And you know what? She also, she's conquered the radio in LA, came to Fox Soul, did a show, refocused, you know, reimagined her show. And now she has a show, The Business of Being Black, which is very successful. And it's on affiliates as well. She's also an actress and does her thing. And, you know, she juggles a lot of different careers and wears a lot of hats and makes it all look easy. So we salute you, Tammy Mack. We do. What y'all sipping on today? Anybody?
A little lemonade with a little bit of vodka in it. You know, it's Friday. I'm feeling good. I'm ready to get into these topics and get it started. You know how I do.
I'm doing Michelob Ultra.
Oh, you trashy.
What?
You Michelob Ultra.
Is there like a Klan rally nearby? Like,
look, I had so much tequila last night. I can't do it.
So, Al, you overdid it last night.
I overdid it.
Real.
So now you tore up.
Tore up.
What did you do without
the tequila turned you into a hillbilly?
My Michelob Ultra, the cigarette.
Let me tell you, for Al, for me, I threw it out there early on to like hang out. For Al to turn down hanging out with anybody that has a credit card, you know, Al.
How dare you?
Really, Al, I know you.
The credit card has to have a certain limit now. Come on, not just any credit card.
No, Al, as long as you can buy some appetizers, Al will be up in that place. Let me tell you about Al real quick. We got to get to these topics. Al will order nothing for himself, but he will be in everybody's plate and eat up every. And he will eat.
Oh, food. God.
He did that when we were at Sherry.
You talk too much, Q. You really do.
All right, y'all. Are y'all ready for the weekend?
Yes. It's Art Basel down here in Miami, so I'm getting these Art Basel streets.
Very nice. I'm here in D.C. My man is being honored by his high school, being inducted to the Hall of Fame, so I'm very proud of him. So I'll definitely maybe put some pictures out there. I don't know. The soulmate's bad nosy. All right, y'all. Let's get into these hot topics. The tea is brewing hot at the third hour of Good Morning America after co-hosts T.J. Holmes and Amy Robach were spotted getting cozy at a bar during a vacation in upstate New York. But according to the New York Daily News, the alleged relationship didn't start until after the journalists both broke up with their spouses in August, within weeks of each other. Now, the two have been married to their spouses for 12 years. Amy is married to former Melrose Place actor Andrew Shue. What are your thoughts on this news? It seemed really scandalous on our last show. The soulmates were all in the chat, like, talk about them. They lost their jobs, which was not true. That's why we wanted to wait until we want to see how the story unfolded. Al, what do you know about this?
Let me tell you something. They're lying. They are absolutely lying, in my opinion. We know that we learned from TMZ that Amy went to the ABC executive several years ago to have a meeting to dispel rumors that she was sitting on TJ's lap. At that time, several years ago, it was rumors. And we also know from staffers who are reporting allegedly that this was no secret. This was no secret that they were canoodling with one another. You know, but look, this would be TJ Holmes' third marriage if they decide to take it further than just dating. And I feel like it's just not a smart move on his part. I my grandfather used to have this saying, what is it? You don't S-H-I-T where you eat or something like that. I don't think it's a good idea to be in a relationship with your co-host that you got to work with every day. I just don't find it smart.
I be knowing tea that I can't really spill, but go ahead, Q. What you think about this story?
So, you know, while I was at the radio station earlier this afternoon, the news broke that they will not be in any trouble with their employer, that they That's are right. good, they are free and in the clear. But, you know, it's odd because the wife of TJ Holmes said, although we have been apart for some time, I was under the impression that we were working on it and that we, you know, were working towards reconciliation. But here's the thing, right? Although this seems scandalous on the surface, here's the question I want to pose to y'all. Would you want somebody to come home to you every day that don't want to be with you?
No.
Like I actually, while the affair may have started off a bit scandalous, I am actually in support of both of them saying, listen, you know, I'm leaving you. I'm not going to lie to you no more. And I'm finna be with her. It's devastating, but thank you for setting me free.
You know, a few months back, TJ, there was some talk about him and an A-lister that I know that I'm friends with. And I was like, okay. So I knew there was trouble in paradise with his wife, but, Okay, TJ.
Go on and spill the tea. Come on, that's what the show's called, TGIF. Get it out.
I feel like I'm so glad that they're not getting in trouble, though, because dating someone at work, should you be fired? Should you lose your career over that? Especially if you both left your relationships, I think the hell not. So I'm glad that they're not going to get in trouble for that. And it is good that they both did leave in August. You know what I mean? And I saw some of the reports, right? They say, oh, TJ and old girl heading to his apartment. Obviously, the wife is not there if they're heading to his apartment. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? If you look at the story, like what they're saying, obviously he's not, like, they are separated if the wife is not, like, are you married to someone that has an apartment that you don't know about and he's spotted by paparazzi, not even nervous about it? Like, to me, it's obvious that they are further along with this split up, but maybe you want to save face and say, I didn't know. But the fact that he's taking her to his apartment and vice versa tells me that they have probably left their mates a while ago. Don't you think?
Well, I don't think I don't think it has anything to do with where their present relationships are with their husbands and their wives. Why would your employer call you into the office to discuss your relationship with another employee at your job when you were both married and that was several years ago? That's where the rub is for me.
Have y'all ever messed with anybody from work?
No, not
funky. Look at funky. Funky line.
Funky line.
Show did all in the bathroom at Cox Media. Show did.
What?
I was known for hunching in the bathroom, but that's a whole other story for a whole other show.
At work.
At work, yes. Sometimes they work there. Sometimes I just told them, come on over here.
Well, since we spilling tea and on Fridays, they always complain that I don't be telling enough tea, but I've been drinking my lemon drop tonight. I had an affair with the manager of Oak Tree when I used to work at the
I used to fold shirts at Oak Tree.
When I used to work at the Emerald Square Mall in North Attleboro, Rhode Island, Massachusetts. Back in the day, he was fine as hell. And don't say names. Okay, I'm not going to say his name.
In the warehouse? I mean, in the back room? Where?
No, we didn't mess around at work, but I did date my boss.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
This was like a long time ago. Yo, shout out to Oak Tree. They used to have a 5-piece suit for $99. You get this, the jacket, the pants, the vest, the shirt, and the tie.
The precursor to Fashion Nova, right?
Oak Tree was the male Fashion Nova.
Oak Tree was the place for the fashions now.
Yeah, I know you was all up in them muscles.
All up in there.
You know, I'm young and supple. I don't know about that store.
Whatever.
I don't know that one. Sorry.
You with us. You with the 50-year-olds.
Claudia is ready tonight.
On to the next thing, Claudia.
All right, y'all. We have some breaking news. A suspect has been charged in the fatal shooting of Takeoff. At a press conference today, the Houston Police Department announced that Patrick Xavier Clark was arrested on the east side of Houston, Texas, on Thursday evening for the murder of the rapper. What are your thoughts on this update? Q, let's start with you. What do you think about this?
You know what? I think it's great. You know, if this is the person that did it, and obviously for the police to do a press conference and say this is the person that did it, they've got to have some type of evidence, statements, video footage. Now, I will say I've been on all the various blog sites on Instagram, and a lot of the Houston natives are like, nah, that's DJ Pat. That's not him. Pat didn't do that. That's just the fall guy. You know, I mean, granted, I'm not on the ground in Houston. I'm not plugged in Houston. You know, the reasonable part of me says if the police made a public statement, then they've got evidence to support this. But we just have to see it through to the end. But if this is the gentleman that did it, I am glad that they've got him and that Takeoff's family will get justice.
Agreed. Al, what do you think about this?
Yeah, you know, I agree with Funky on this. The only thing that, you know, what happens in high profile celebrity cases is that they push very hard to find someone to, you know, charge because, you know, it just is an urgency. And I hope that they have the right person in this case. And if they do, lock him up and send him to jail.
I'm just really concerned about people that make these split second decisions to like commit and act like this. Like, for what? And apparently you shot someone that you had no smoke with, for real. Like, it seems like this is just a casualty of some stupid niggerdom, I'm gonna call it. You know what I mean? Yeah. Just like rah, 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 and dick slanging. You know what I mean? And, yeah. and just, it seems like that. And then you kill one of the biggest stars in hip hop that was beloved, that is not problematic. And now your life is ruined. And I just need us to start caring a little bit more about life. Like, but just very cavalier attitude about just life.
Yeah.
All right, y'all, moving on. Wendy Williams' ex-husband, Kevin Hunter, is demanding that the courts order Williams' guardian to resume his alimony payments after claiming that he can't pay his bills. He's struggling, y'all. He says he's facing foreclosure after Wendy was placed in a financial guardianship early this year. In his court filings, Kevin wrote, I have fallen behind on most of my bills. I currently live in a community that requires payments to the homeowners association, and I'm behind on that bill. If the homeowners association fees are not paid, foreclosure will follow soon. That's very true. That almost happened to me one time. All right. Hunter also says he hasn't paid his car insurance. He's behind on his credit cards because he doesn't have any money since his severance payments were suspended. Al Reynolds, what are your thoughts on Kevin's claims?
I just have so many questions about this. You know, the first one is you were married to Wendy Williams for 21 years. She was on the show for 14 years, and we've known that the last couple of years she was making $10 million a season. I think they were saying something like $56,000 an episode or something crazy like that. So you're telling me that after 7 months of not receiving payment, you're dead broke. Like something is not adding up. And I mean broke to the point where he can't pay his utilities, his HOA, as well as his health insurance. This is really, really confusing me. And then number two, the divorce settlement clearly states that if she doesn't have a job, that your payments can cease or they can be modified. So I'm just like, okay, you knew that this was coming when she lost the job in October of 20, was that 2019, 2020? I think it was
2020.
20, no, 2021, October 2021. I don't know, but I'm gonna tell you this, Sharina Hudson, that's her name, right? She better blow that dust off that damn massage table and get to squeezing on some muscles because y'all about to get put out.
That's what she did. It's so funny because the profession you recommend her go back to, I was gonna tell her go to the Boulevard, baby. The Boulevard always paid. She paid during COVID. The Boulevard was never. That never let you down. And I'm here to let y'all know, since COVID and monkeypox is over, the price of Tulsi Cat is starting to rise. So you gotta put an ass on the track. But to Al's point, I'm gonna tell you something. I don't think Kevin is flat broke. I mean, rather he got high ass Geico or Progressive. You're not gonna tell me that Kevin don't have a couple hundred dollars a month to pay his car insurance. Now, what I do think is that, you know, Kevin is owed his money, his payments. And he wants his money. Now, Al, I didn't know the part about if she's not working, that his payments could be suspended or modified. But I will say this, despite the fact that I don't like Kevin, if that alimony payment is a bill, the same way her mortgage is a bill, the same way her utilities is a bill, and somebody's supposed to be responsible for paying her bills, then the alimony payment needs to be paid by the guardianship or by Wells Fargo, who got her money sold up. Whoever's responsible for paying her mortgage needs to make sure that they pay all of her obligations.
I
Do
agree.
you?
If that's the
Sorry.
agreement, if that's an agreement, you know, legally, then that's what should be done. I will say that. But on the karma side of things, where it's not about legalities, the audacity of you cheat on me in our relationship. I was the one that helped your lifestyle. Like, you know, our marriage and our relationship really provided that relationship and that, I mean, that level of comfort and that lifestyle, and then you leave me or you cheat on me and have a whole new relationship, and then I'm responsible to pay your bills with someone. That is like, I don't even know. I don't even have a word for it. I don't even have the word for it. And as a man, like, yeah, he should get paid if that was part of the deal, but goddamn, it is a little bit of karma, kind of like, you know?
But
All
you know
right.
what's so interesting? Do you think he's, why would any man come out and admit that you're broke like that? Do you think he's pushing her to the carpet? Do you think he's like trying to, you know, tell us something about Wendy Williams' real financial affairs?
Possibly, but we got to pick this up after the commercial, baby.
Oh, okay.
Quick commercial break, and we'll be right back. But damn it, HOA don't be nothing but like $200, $300 a month. All right, everybody, welcome back to TGIF. Don't forget, today is Friday. So we are opening up the chat and opening up our show to questions. So the last like 5, 6, 7 minutes of the show, we will be answering questions from you, the viewers. So put your good old questions, your little shady questions in the chat, and we'll get to them. All right, y'all, let's get into this. On a recent episode of Vlad TV, Boosie said Jay-Z is not relevant when it comes to today's music. The rapper elaborated by saying that when he attends clubs in Atlanta that cater to 25 to 30-year-old partygoers, they don't play music from Jay-Z or Nas. Now, Jay-Z has currently been nominated for 5 Grammys. What are your thoughts on what Boosie said? Q, let's start with you. What you think about this?
You know what? People in our age demographic, our knee-jerk response is to get an attitude and be mad because these people are greats. But then just recently, I have had to reevaluate that, like Wendy Williams would always say, I'm kind of long in the tooth. And while I don't like the wording and it feels disrespectful by saying non-relevant, he's telling the absolute truth. You know, Boosie did go on, and I'm paraphrasing here, to say he's respected. And when you flash him across the screen, people respect his business and the fact that he's a billionaire. But you're right. You know, these younger kids, they don't have the same association with Jay-Z, Nas, Biggie, and all those people that we did. So, like I said, while the wording I'm not a fan of, he's telling the absolute truth.
Okay. That's fair enough. Al, what do you think?
I mean, yeah, I just think the word relevant is the wrong word. I feel like when I hear someone say that word, it makes me feel like they don't matter anymore. And that's the furthest from the truth, because he's a trailblazer. He's a, he's an icon. He's a mogul, too. I think it would be more appropriate to say that Jay-Z is not in trend with the young generation in the rap arena, in the rap game. That would make me feel more comfortable with that word relevant. And then coming from Bootsy, though, this is the thing that's interesting. Bootsy is definitely in trend, but in my opinion, he's definitely not relevant. I only know two songs that he's ever done, right? What's Wipe Me Down, and what was that other one that goes?
Name them, Al. Name them.
Jesus, I'm trying. Hold on. Wipe Them Down, right? And then the other one is something cha-cha. Yeah. Y'all, help me out here, Keith.
I can't even help you because you know
I listen to the best. I know there's two songs. Wipe Me Down and the other one. Huh?
You said Sade. The best of Anita Baker and Sade, so I can't even help you when it comes to Bootsy.
Anyway, his antics is what puts him in trend, but as it relates to his rap game, I don't find him relevant.
Yeah, I agree with both of you. Q, like you, knee-jerk response is like, what you mean he ain't relevant? He's like so successful. And like we grew up with him, right, on the soundtrack of our teens and college years. And he's a very successful man. And the way he positioned himself and parlayed everything to where he is now. I don't know if he's not relevant. He's not playing him like they played 21 Savage and, you know, some of these others, Young Thugs and the ASAPs and all that. But let's be very clear. Jay-Z can drop an album this summer and have the hottest album of the summer.
And he's that triple platinum.
He's that type of rapper. So I don't know if he's ever really like kind of like a Too Short. You know, it's not the 90s or the 2000s, but whenever Too Short does drop in and drop an album or a song, he tends to have the song up because he's a real talent. Whereas like these other ones are kind of just like, I don't know. Yeah, I guess he has a point. They're not really hearing that like they used to, but to say he's not relevant, I think he's always going to be because it's really by choice. Mm-hmm. He can drop
that
what
makes
he wants.
Sense. Yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah. All right, y'all. Hey, y'all. Mama D recently responded to the emotional viral clip of Scrappy talking about how he grew up in a trap house. Mama D went on Instagram Live and said, yeah, bleep, but you profited off of that. You got clothes, fed, and all that. What are your thoughts on what Mama D said? Al, let's start with you.
I didn't like it. I thought it was sad. What's so interesting to me is, or crazy in this instance, is the person that you want to heal you, and in Scrappy's case, is his mother, is the person that's hurting him. And that's really profound. And I don't know that Mama D has really settled in and taking responsibility for the trauma that she's created in Scrappy's life. And he's been very transparent and very open about it. Now, I do understand just from looking at her and looking at her demeanor and how she responds, that it just appears that she's just surviving. You know what I mean? It's not like she doesn't know what she did, but she's in this space where she did what she had to for her family and for her kids and for herself. So who can you really be mad at in this situation?
Right. Okay. Q, what do you think?
Let me explain something to y'all. Like I always say, in this life, everything has a price. You're going to pay on the front end and the back end. And I think Mama D's biggest point was, I was in a head-on car collision and couldn't walk, which meant she couldn't work. And I think what she was saying is, in order to make ends meet, these were the lengths that I had to go to. It's not like I was just trying to be a bad mother. And listen, while it may have been unconventional and untraditional, it fed you, it put clothes on your back. And even Scrappy admitted in the Love and Hip Hop scene that it was that money that she did from trapping and hoeing or selling the hoes that funded his rap career. Now, if it was not for your rap career, you would not be who you are today, have what you have today, and be on the platform you have today. I get it. We all have trauma, but you have to ask yourself, if able to do it all over again, would you or would you not? She did the best she could with what she had. It hurt. But on the flip side of things, look at where you are now. You got enough money to go get some therapy. So just go get it. And I mean, Scrappy, a lot of people would give anything to be in your position right now. So I get that it hurt, but mama did what she had to do, as Black women tend to do.
Mm-hmm. I think this is a really complex relationship, and it's really sad. You know, I feel like they're both very hurt. I think that they're really hurt, and they can really probably only see it from their side of the hurt. You know what I mean? Like, she's like, dude, I did what I had to do. And what I did helped you get there financially. I did what I can. Why are you mad at me? And he's like, he does give her credit for that. Let's not take it away. But he does say, if it wasn't for you doing this, I wouldn't be where I'm at. But he's also looking for the nurturing of a mother. Mm-hmm. And I think that she is not really that capable of that. I think she wants to be, though. Mm-hmm. You know, I do. I don't think either one of them are bad people. I think they're both very hurt people. She's a survivalist, and he's the hurt child is who's still stuck where he was when his mama hurt him. Yeah. You know, I at the reunion, like, we got them to sit down and they talked, and it was like a beautiful moment. It kind of felt at some point it was like two ships passing, like they weren't all the way connecting. Like, it's still like, what about my hurt? What about my hurt? They need therapy together and separate.
You know, I'm gonna tell you something that because I go to therapy, and one of the issues in my therapy is my relationship with my parents. And there was one thing my therapist said to me that set me free, and said, sometimes our parents are not equipped with the tools necessary to give us what we need. And that statement alone, like, freed me of a lot of stuff I was holding on with, because you can't fault somebody who doesn't have the tools to give you what it is you need.
That's true.
That's true. It's just really sad, though, you know?
It sucks, but...
Well, we criticize a lot of men, especially Black men, for not being able to be open, right? And to be honest about their emotions. And then when they are, it's like the mom's like, oh, well, sorry, I'm not equipped to handle that. And it kind of makes other people say, well, shit, well, maybe I should keep my trauma to myself, because there's no real solution. And it's really a sad situation. Because like I said, I feel like they both are hurt people. She's hurt by the survival she had to do to make it work for them. And he's hurt for not having a nurturing mom. But I do know that they love each other. They do love each other. That's for sure. That's for sure. All right, y'all, quick commercial break. When we come back, we got a whole bunch of tea to talk about. We got Aubrey O'Day talking about some of these people that y'all like ain't really that talented, y'all. She's coming with names. We'll be right back with more TGIF after this. Welcome back to TGIF. A reminder, it is Friday. So Friday is when we open up the chat and let y'all ask us your little shady questions about our personal business or its career stuff or whatever y'all want to know. Please put your questions in the chat and our producers will pick the best questions. We'll address all of them in the last block. All right, y'all, let's get into this. Listen, if you have family and friends coming over for the holidays, then you're already anticipating that, oh my gosh, do I have enough food feeling? Listen, it's not fun, but there's no need for it. Get Wild Grain and you will always have crowd-pleasing bread, rolls, pastries, pastas, and more in your freezer. Now, Wild Grain is the first bake from frozen box for artisanal bread. Plus, they have amazing rolls, pastries, and even homemade pastas. Wild Grain uses only clean ingredients, such as unbleached and non-GMO flour, and utilizes a slow sourdough fermentation process that's healthier for you and tastes better than anything you can find in a grocery store. Now, every item bakes from frozen in 25 minutes or less. Plus, for every new member, Wild Grain donates 6 meals to the Greater Boston Food Bank. Now, so far, they've donated over 120,000 meals, so they are really doing their thing. This holiday season, Wild Grain is featuring delicious new limited time sweet treats such as pumpkin cinnamon rolls, orange cranberry biscuits, and chocolate avalanche croissants. Ooh, that sounds good. And all you have to do is sign up at wildgrains.com/tea and choose which type of box you want to receive and how often. Now, it's really easy to reschedule or skip or cancel. And listen, this stuff is really, really good. And listen, Al Reynolds is the human vacuum cleaner when it comes
to trash can. Yeah.
But he's not just for any food. It has to be high-end quality food. Al, speak on how...
I promise you. I don't know who did this. I don't know who figured this out. If y'all don't trust me on anything else, trust me on this. I'm telling you, they got peach pockets. They got apple pockets. They got chocolate chip cookies. They got the best pasta. They got angel hair pasta, long pasta, short pasta. They got croissants that are like the size of like your hand. What else? Oh, the sourdough bread is good. If you're into bread and butter, it's amazing. I promise you, I feel like I am actually living in Italy when I eat their pasta. It is really, really good.
Wow. Living in Italy. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, Tatiana. Okay. Ragazzo. Q, what you think about it? That you I know you're not a good cook.
No, I know I'm not, but when I cook, you know, and black people, I'm from the country, black people love having bread with whatever it is they eat. And it feels so good being able to go to my freezer and at any given moment, I've got 4, 5, 6 different arrays of bread to choose from. Y'all, you pop it in the oven. It is so fresh. It's good. And it's big pieces of bread too. I mean, those croissants swole up to the size of my hand. They're really good. I'm all for Wild Grains.
All right. Well, great. I love that you guys really enjoy the product. Now listen, all you have to do is sign up at wildgrain.com/tea and choose what type of box you want to receive and how often, like I said. And it's easy to reschedule, skip, or cancel. I want to reiterate that point because that's a really big deal. Now, y'all hungry already? For a limited time, you can get $30 off the first box plus free croissants in every box when you go to wildgrain.com/tea to start your subscription. You heard me, free croissants in every box and $30 off your first box when you go to wildgrain.com/tea. That's wildgrain.com/tea, or you can use promo code tea at checkout. I highly recommend this. You see, the fellas are really into it, and I think you should try them out as well. All right, y'all, let's get back into some hot topics. All right, y'all. I've been wanting to hear y'all opinion on this because the internet was talking about this story. During an interview on Sirius XM, Aubrey O'Day talked about the lack of talent that it takes for people to become music stars these days. Take a look.
Nowadays, the gatekeepers are gone. Everybody thinks they're a star. Everybody can be a star. You can fart the national anthem on TikTok. And you're more famous than me. You're more relevant than me. You have bigger numbers than me. Congratulations.
All right, y'all, do you agree with Aubrey? Whoever wants to go first, go ahead and take it on.
You know what? Here's the thing. Right message, wrong messenger. You know what I'm saying? She's 100% right. Now where she went a little wrong is with the whole, you know, more talent than me, more relevant than me. Like, Aubrey, like, calm down. Because here's the thing. When it comes to talent, that really is up for debate. But I will say this. She is part of the last group of people in the music industry that actually pledged to be in the music industry. Yes, like she did have to go through the Puffies, the LA Reeds, the artist development, the doing the choreography rehearsals, the whatever. Now, as far as talent, this is one thing that we know about talent. Talent speaks for itself, honey. And when you have talent, you ain't got to have nothing else. You'll be pulling the stunts and shows, Aubrey, in order to get two nickels to rub together. So I don't know if you should. You kind of lost us with the whole more relevant than me and more talent than me. I mean, you could do a little yang around the house, but you ain't, you know, you ain't Christina Aguilera or Britney Spears, but she's telling the God honest truth.
Okay. Al, what do you think?
You know, I don't know, Funky. I like her. I think I like her, and I like what she was saying. I think she's articulate. I think she's smart. I think she really brought up something, which is the meaning of celebrity and how you obtain it these days is totally different, and it feels kind of very fake and manufactured. In fact, I actually wanted to ask Claudia, because Claudia, you've been in this game for so long. You've worked on so many major platforms, some of the largest in the entertainment business. What do you think about this new fame people that just step in, you know, at 20 and didn't have to do all the things that you had to do in order to be successful in the game? What are your thoughts around this?
So I'm in D.C. and I had drinks with my girl, Ashley Reels, who's an actress out here. And we were having a conversation about this tonight, about talent and hard work and the time you put in versus gimmicky stuff. And we are in a time now, I know the term microwave society, microwave entertainment, it's like thrown around a lot, but it's so true. I remember a movie a few years back where they used a bunch of social media stars in the movie because they had big followings, and it fell flat watching the scenes. It was like, you can tell the real actors from the ones that just had social media attention. I hope that the pendulum switches back to actual talent, I mean, listen, it's great that we had a little era of time where people who didn't have the training, all that kind of got in, and it was like kind of like everybody can have a place at the table. But at the end of the day, I think we need to get back to people that can actually really sing, who can really host, that actually can perform, that can do comedy and not just do skits on Instagram and not just do a quick little thing that's highly filtered. I think it bastardizes and takes away from the industry. I grew up in a time as when I was modeling, right? In the late 80s, well, actually the early 90s when I started modeling, where there was no photoshopping like there is now, right? There was no filters. You had to have great bone structure, great skin, be a certain height and a certain body type, period. There was no ifs, ands, or buts about it. There was no, we'll just take this in. Now they made it where you can be 5'5", 165 pounds and have horrible skin. No shade to the girls that are, but that's not what a fashion model calls for.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it made everybody think, well, I can do it too, which on one hand, it's good. Like, yes, go for your dreams. But there's certain things I'm not qualified for. I can't be a pilot. I can't do surgery. And it's okay. We got to get out of this era of everybody getting a goddamn participation trophy. So we got to make everybody feel good. And no, you can do it too. No, some of y'all ain't supposed to be entertainers. Some of y'all ain't supposed to be models, actors, and none of that stuff. It ain't for everybody. And we got to a point where we pussified our society where we can't tell anyone they can't do anything because it's mean, right? We're shaming them. No, you should have a certain kind of complexion. And I don't mean skin color. I mean clarity. You should have a certain kind of ability to speak. You should be able to act and not just rely on the computer to fix it later, to even the playing field. I think there's nothing wrong with that. I know that was a long rant. Blame it on the two lemon drops I had tonight. That's
it. You gonna take us to a commercial?
Yes. Know what, Al?
Look, Funky does this to you all the time. I was just
I'm not mad. You know what? In the spirit of this conversation, you know what? You are qualified to do this as well. Take us to commercial, Al Reynolds.
All right, everybody. We will be right back. But before we go, please don't forget, we'll be taking questions at the end of the show. So anything you want to know about Funky, Claudia, or myself, put it in the chat and we're going to talk about it. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to TGIF. One more time, I want to remind you all that we are taking your questions at the end of the show. So I hope you all have some good questions for the three of us because we are taking them and we are answering them tonight. All right, y'all, let's get into the story. I have a couple things I want to get into. During an interview with The Hollywood Reporter, Nia Long revealed that when it comes to her ex-man's affair and how it's affected her 11-year-old son, Long said he still has moments where it's not easy for him. Nia said, I think the most heartbreaking thing about all of this was seeing my son's face when the Boston Celtics organization decided to make a very private situation public. Nia added, no one from the Celtics organization has even called to see if I'm okay or to see if my children are okay. What are your thoughts on how the Celtics handled the situation? Al, what do you think about this?
Of course the Boston Celtics aren't going to reach out to you. They don't care about you in all honesty. I mean, you are merely a girlfriend. You're not really, they're not married. So, I mean, and I feel like Boston Celtics knew that this affair was going on for way longer. They did not want to be involved in it until they were forced. And it's unfortunate that her son had to, you know, being that he is the, you know, the son of a very high profile basketball coach in the NBA and a high profile actress, that he has to deal with it. But, you know, that comes with the territory. But of course they wouldn't. I don't know many employers that reach out to girlfriends during time of, you know, decision.
Okay, that's true. Q, what do you think about this?
You know what? So I agree with her on one token, you know, that this situation was made very private. And it's not like they got busted like TJ Holmes and the other lady and people got pictures. I really do feel like this was something that could have been handled in-house. But Nia, I'm looking at you sideways with the ain't nobody from the Celtics reached out to me to see if I'm doing okay. Hey, girl, this is Margaret calling from HR the Bar Consultants. I'm just calling to find out that in the midst of the affair situation going on with your boyfriend and the other lady, how are you doing? Are you signing the care basket? Because we at the Celtics organization, we feel really sorry that you were negatively impacted by this situation. And if there's anything, some counseling or maybe some post-traumatic stress syndrome stuff that we can do for your son, we would gladly send you guys resources and pay for it. Like, really, girl? Like really? And then, honestly and truthfully, her statements about they took a very private situation and made it public, it sounds to me here like you were expecting the Celtics to protect you. When it's all said and done, it was his job to protect you.
Oh, that's a fact.
His job not to even do this, but for you to fix your lips and turn your head to the side and put your hand on your hip while your backbone slipped and say they didn't even call to check on you, girl, you expecting a little too much from them people.
Yeah,
they didn't call to check on me. Girl, you sound dumb. Don't say that again, Nia. Like, you don't work for them people. But you know what I think? You know what it probably is, though? Now that I'm thinking about it, she's probably conflating two things. She's probably conflating, I sat on that front row, I went to Christmas parties with these people, I've been to these people's house, and nobody even called to check on me. That's probably where her sentiments are coming from.
And I guess if you think about it, they had internal conversations about this before they released this, right? Mm-hmm. And that had to have come up. Like you said, she's been in these people's faces. They probably hung out and probably welcomed her when she first came. There's not a lot of celebrities that go to the front that sit on the, you know, on the floor of the Celtics game. She's a big deal at the Celtics game. Maybe some consideration about how this might run with their family. She probably expected, but I get it. It does what you said was pretty funny.
At best, you'd get a personal call from someone. Maybe one of the coach's wife or something. But to expect
what would she actually say? Let's break this down. What would the call be?
Welcome.
What would the call be? And from who? Who would she want it from?
Welcome to the club. put your game face on and don't let them see you sweat.
Right. Maybe I as a woman of a coach, right? I guess I would have liked to. Hey, Nia. We've grown to love you at the Celtics organization. We just want you to be aware a story is going to drop this week and it's going to affect you and your family. Just so you prepare yourself, just so you brace yourself. Maybe something like that. Maybe that's what she wanted. I don't know. Would that be hard to do?
I think unofficially, that's what the wives club is there for.
Because mm-hmm. They always talking about this, trust and believe. Right. They
right. That's what this. The wives club. If anybody was going to give you a call, it should have been an unofficial call from one of the wives. But to expect, I don't know, the head coach, the president of the team, Susan and HR to give you a call, that's a bit preposterous to me.
But I will say this, because I do have a little bit of insight these days.
Okay.
There's a lot of stuff that happens at practices on teams that never gets out because there is a code of conduct. They're protective of the organization. So there was a lot of conversations about this before they decided to make this very public. I think they could have handled that internally, but they did not.
Right.
Maybe they deserve our tea bag of the day, but we got to get into our official tea bag of the day, where we respectfully call out celebrities and everyday people who, in our opinion, have done something ridiculous. All right, y'all. Today's tea bag of the day goes to Jocelyn Bryan of Jocelyn's Southern Kitchen Incorporated. A woman who attended a wedding in Florida is suing Jocelyn's company for serving food that was allegedly laced with poisonous levels of marijuana. The woman claims she suffered severe permanent injuries after Bryant reportedly allowed food to be infused with harmful levels of cannabis. She's seeking permanent, wait, hold on. You said permanent issues? $30,000 in damages. Bryant faces felony charges of tampering with food and the sale or delivery of a controlled substance. The bride also faces several charges, including tampering with food and delivering marijuana. Funky, take this away.
You know, it's always got to be somebody in Florida. Florida, I'm about to denounce this whole thing, okay? But here's the thing. Jocelyn must have been high when she fixed the catering stuff because, listen, since COVID, weed is high, okay? So why would you purposely put enough weed, because they said she put it in the bread. Why would you put the weed in the bread for the people who didn't want it and the people who didn't pay for it? Then you got the people high and sick all down to the wedding. And I'm curious to know what color these wedding guests were. And I only say that because I feel like if it was our cousins, they would be doing the butterfly or artist or maybe the electric slide or the cha-cha slide. But all you right. know, people of other persuasions, they probably didn't know what all the hell was going on and felt like they was about to die. But those of us that were in the know, you know, we knew, we would have known what we were experiencing. But Jocelyn, you definitely get the tea bag for the day. And it's not because you infused the people food with the marijuana. It's that you gave away good weed for free for people who didn't want it, dumbass.
That's a great point. Now, teammates, if you want to nominate someone to be our teabag of the day, drop their name in the chat list. And speaking of chat, make sure you get your questions, because when we come back from this break, we might do one story, a little piece of a story, and then it's all balls to the wall. We're going to answer questions from y'all. All right, go ahead and put your questions in the chat for Funky, myself, and Al. We'll be right back with your questions and your answers right after this. Come back to TGIF. Before we get to our questions, real quick, Obama was campaigning with Reverend Warnock in Georgia, which, yo, the voting is Tuesday, December 6th. Get out there. And Obama got his clown on. I think he could be a great comedian. What do you think, Al?
Well, I thought that this is the Obama that I wish I knew during the presidency. He said, when he was talking about Herschel Walker, he said, you know, everybody's got that one crazy uncle that they are part of the family, but you give them limited responsibilities. That cracked me up. And then he also said, as far as he's concerned, he can do whatever he wants to except be a U.S. senator. And I couldn't agree more. Everybody, please, 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 please head out to vote on Tuesday. This is crucial.
Talk about he want to be a werewolf over a vampire. You don't want to sit your ass down.
Idiot. That's funny.
All right, y'all, before we go, we want to show some love to our fans in the chat and open up the floor for them to ask us anything, and we do mean anything. Are y'all ready?
Let's do it.
Yep.
All right. In no particular order, I'm just going to go down the list of the questions the producers chose from the chat. Hold on, let me scroll back up. Okay. Question, Q&A. Do you consider yourself a dominant person in your relationship or passive?
I'm dominant in my relationships, but I would love for God to send somebody in my life that I would trust enough to take the wheel.
Okay.
I'm pretty dominant across the board in everything. Relationship, business partnerships, all of it.
Well, Derek Riviera has a question for you, Al. Have you ever paid for Tootsie Cat?
Have I paid what?
For Tootsie Cat.
Oh, yeah, of course.
You paid for it?
Oh, yeah, of course. I'll never forget when I was in, when I was traveling abroad, I was studying abroad, and I went to Amsterdam for the first time, and I went on this strip. And so on this strip, you know, there are these women in these very slim booths, and as you're walking down the street, if they pop the door at that time, you know, you could pay, go in, have sex, and keep it moving. And yeah,
you paid in the red light district.
Yeah,
what's it smell like in there? Does it smell like bologna?
No, it smells good. They're very clean. They put napkins, and they have these special techniques that they use to make sure everybody's protected. It's pretty good.
Mm. Wow. I guess I'm not the only one on antibiotics. Okay, let's go. Okay. Oh, B, as a matter of fact, question, Al, do you still take Blue Chew or did you never do it?
I've never taken Blue Chew, but I've definitely done Cialis. And I've, you know, you guys know I was on the pre-marketing team for Viagra, so I've tried that too.
Okay. Stevie Ray Q, have any of y'all had someone who was a fan of yours and now y'all are friends? Are you friends with a fan now?
Yeah, several. Several. A lot of times people hit me up on my inbox, and if I feel their vibe, I'll invite them to the bar where the Honda cars be, and we've struck up relationships. Yeah.
Okay.
Not yet.
Okay. Our Love 144. At what age do you guys understand lust and love? Ooh, I'm still trying to work on that.
I still don't understand it.
Still don't understand it.
Okay, let me keep going. Oh, Lee Jones, question. How does the panel feel about the Jerry Jones picture and LeBron James comments on it? I loved LeBron James comments, how we call them reporters out. You asked me all day long about my black brother, Kyrie, about what he did wrong, but you don't have any smoke for this white man. We just going to act like it didn't really happen because it was a long time ago. Miss me with that bullshit. We need more accountability.
Yeah, I agree.
I think I was more mad with Stephen A. Smith than I was with Jerry Jones, to be quite honest, but that's a whole other topic.
Yeah, that's a whole other conversation.
Coach Storm, Claudia, are you high off pain meds? No, but because I've been on antibiotics for the past month, I haven't drank in a while, so I am
loosey goosey.
I'm actually having an allergic reaction to like all this stuff, so my cheeks are extremely big right now. So, all right, real quick, Saucy King, will y'all three ever adopt kids? We already talked about that before, right?
Yeah. No.
Player one, was there ever a story you covered that you regret speaking on?
Ooh.
No, maybe how I spoke on it throughout my entire career on the show. Maybe how I spoke on it, but no.
I think we know about my one story of, you know.
Right.
Maybe yeah. There's been a few. You know, we've made mishaps. Listen, when you talk three times a week or two times a week, you're not going to bat 1,000. And I need y'all to give us some grace. Like, we're not always going to be perfect. We try. Ms. Libra Queen, Claudia, do you want children? Would you adopt? I'm at that age where it's really hard for me to get pregnant. But if I did, I would be extremely happy. Adopt, I would not. Because with my luck, I'd probably get the next Jeffrey Dahmer. And I don't want
to. No, you wouldn't.
All right, y'all. Al Reynolds and Funky Dunny, but always serving the tea. Thank you for everyone watching us on YouTube. Stay tuned for a new episode of Tracks and Tales, and we'll be back with y'all next week. What y'all doing this weekend? You got any plans?
Art Basel, so I'm going to hit up some of the Art Basel events, and hopefully I can find me a rich man.
Headed to an estate sale in Mobile, Alabama.
Okay, bye, y'all.